Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and many of you have probably heard of the delayed departure phenomenon. That's when adult children still live at home and off their parents' checkbooks in many cases. Joining me to discuss the barriers to independence faced by today's young adults is sociologist Catherine Newman, author of a new book called The Accordion Family, Boomerang Kids, Anxious Parents, and the Private Toll of Global Competition. She's also dean of the Krieger School of Arts and Sciences at Johns Hopkins University. Catherine Newman, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And obviously, we've been facing an economic slump since 2008. Unemployment is high. The cost of education is increasing. Many recent graduates have had to move back home as they continue their job search. Shouldn't the natural response be for our kids to move back home if they cannot be independent themselves?
Well, it's certainly become the natural response. Something like 85% of them are doing it. But it feels odd to generations for whom that wasn't their experience. If you think the norm is you're on your own after you're 18 or after you finish college, when the kids come thundering home, it feels like a change. And it is a sea change.
Did you see that President Obama is going to give a speech today about how to contain the rising cost of college?
Well, the rising cost of college is an important piece of this. Even more so probably is the rising cost of graduate school, because what a lot of undergraduates are doing when they finish up is recognize they need a master's degree, and that gets more costly. So they come home to shelter that long march toward the right credentials.
To what degree do you attribute this trend to globalization, which is referred to in your title?
When you look across the developed world, you see that starting in the mid-1980s, we saw a real shift toward outsourcing, downsizing, the emergence of short-time contracts, part-time work, and most of that hit on the backs of entry-level workers. So ultimately, that will engage everybody. But for the first 20 years or so, it was really falling on the backs of young people trying to enter the labor market. So, yeah, I think it had a lot to do with why this has emerged.
Listeners, are you a parent who feels that young adults are moving back with their parents too much? Is there an unwilling to grow up factor here? Are you, a young adult who has moved back in with your parents, feeling that you don't have an opportunity in today's economy that maybe they did when they were in their 20s? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, or a question for Catherine Newman, author of The Accordion Family, Boomerang Kids, Anxious Parents, and the Private Toll of Global Competition. Are you critical of kids, adult children, moving back with their parents, or are you just doing analysis of it in the context of the global economy?
No, I'm not critical of them. I think it's a natural response. I think that there's reason for us to worry, both as parents and as young people, about what their futures hold. But I think it's actually a testimony to the way in which families act as a kind of private safety net. Now, there are limits to what families can do. In other countries, for example, in the Nordic social democracies, the accordion family doesn't emerge even though youth unemployment is very high, because the state steps in to provide all kinds of supports that make it possible for them to be independent. So there are policy choices to be made that make a difference. But in the absence of that kind of support, I think it is a testimony to American families that are trying to help launch the next generation at the level that they hope they're entitled to or should aspire to.
And the term accordion family, for people who haven't heard it before?
Well, I made it up, Brian, but it refers to thinking about the family as kind of a bellows that opens up to re-embrace those who are economically in need of support. But it also tries to capture the way in which the generation that's really solid financially is having to assume responsibility for many more years than they used to, and that has consequences for their retirement. They can only act as the mini-Fed for so long.
Does this also encompass the generation above, the older parents who may have to be taken into the household, the sandwich generation, as it were, where maybe the young adult children are moving back and the elderly, increasingly frail parents are moving in?
That has less been the case for the American middle class, but that may be what the future holds. It has long been true for working class and poor households who didn't have the resources for their parents to be in nursing homes or have other kinds of supports when they get to be frail. But that may be the future we're looking at. And if it is, it's really back to the past, because that's, of course, the way that the elderly were cared for long ago, long before women headed into the labor market in large numbers.
Right. And Social Security and Medicare were intended in part to help the elderly who want to be independent remain independent.
And it did. It made a huge difference. Whether it will continue to do so is another question.
Janet in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Catherine Newman. Hello.
Hello. I'm a parent of a child who was able to move out, and she moved in with her boyfriend in California. That's because she had gotten a job in biology, so she majored in biology, and the boyfriend majored in geology. And I'm thinking that young people have to really choose carefully the field that they go into and be more technical, because that's where the job seems to be.
Well, it's certainly true that people who have degrees in the sciences and in computer science in particular are advantaged in this labor market. And so we're probably not going to see as many of them boomerang back to their households. That said, it's not everyone's interest and it's not everyone's capacity to go in those directions. And we've never before insisted that everybody follow one particular pathway in life.
Janet, thank you. But it certainly is a byproduct of the recession that, let's say, if you don't want to have to go back to live with your parents, which a lot of people do not once they move out of the house, they find it a great relief not to be living with their parents, then be a science major, not a liberal arts.
I think that there are many people who believe, and rightfully so, that they will have more options for earning if they do so. But I don't want you to come away with the impression that everyone thinks this is a source of shame or a serious problem. In fact, what I found for many households was that the parents welcomed their children back. It was a positive experience. They were not back as teenagers with all those surveillance responsibilities, where's Sally at midnight. They came back as adults with a degree of autonomy and self-responsibility, and in many ways it improved the parent-child relationship. So it's not necessarily a catastrophe.
Meredith in Bradley Beach, you're on WNYC. Hi, Meredith.
Hi, yes. I'm calling because what I've noticed is a lot of kids my age, I'm 27, they graduate from college, then they have trouble finding a job, immediately move back in with their parents, and then they're there for 3 or 4 years until they get married. I feel like I see a great lack of trying to find a job and trying to be independent because they know they have this safety net.
There are certainly people who would say that this represents a kind of laziness, and that makes everybody nervous if that's the case. But that's a pretty blanket criticism, and it certainly wouldn't be true of everyone. What I would say about the American example is as long as kids are making efforts to make the move out and to be autonomous, people are pretty well satisfied. If they don't show that they're making those efforts, it raises all the anxieties you've just reflected.
Meredith, thank you. Do you have conversations with like this with your friends? Do you needle them and say, come on, you're not even trying?
I do. And then their immediate response is, well, I'll go to grad school. And they load up more debt and they're back in school for a couple more years. And I don't think it's the case. I have many friends who've moved out, found jobs, and have worked their way up and are living great right now. I'm just scared because I see more and more of this happening.
Meredith, thank you so much for your call. Liam in Melville, you're on WNYC. Hey, Liam.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you for calling. What do you think?
I'm trying to follow the thread here and listen a little bit, but I'm kind of echoing some of the things that I guess I've already heard, which is the expectation was, and I was told from the time I was about 16, like, yeah, you're moving out of the house when you're 18. You know, you're going to be working or doing something or going to college. I wound up in the military because it was a good place to go and it made sense, but I think parents, you know, in an effort to be as open and loving and nurturing as possible, are maybe not doing all their children a favor by.
So, do you have an adult child at home now?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I have two adults and a grandchild. One is a divorce situation, and they're making arrangements there. But the other daughter, it's just like, you know, so you and four of your friends do it. I mean, no one's saying you have to, you know, have to do it on your own, but you need to learn at some point in your life to feed and clothe and house yourself, entertain yourself. And I think the longer you start delaying those lessons, the more you think, this isn't so hard after all.
So like, what would that
really learn?
What would that mean in the real world? If there's the risk of dependency from coming home, even if there's an economic need to come home at first, is it go out and take a worse job than you thought you would have to take?
Well, I've heard that. I've heard that, and if you're part of the cream that's going to float to the top anyway, no matter what field you're in, you might be looking for the plum job or the great job or whatever, and you might not be looking at what's right in front of you, and that might be where your career path is.
Uh-huh.
Actually,
Liam, thank you very much. So there are times where it's better off to be broke and independent than a little more comfortable and accordioned.
I think there are real generational differences. When I was 18, if you weren't out of the house, there was something truly wrong with you, and there was a lot of cultural support for living cheap, blue jeans with holes and ratty old cars, and nobody thought otherwise.
Now they manufacture $65 blue exactly. jeans with the holes built in.
Right. But I think after the 1980s, we returned back to what was something closer to a norm in American life, which is that there was a greater expectation for a degree of creature comforts, and it takes longer to find the wherewithal to do that. So there are real cultural differences between the American generations.
Also, different families are different. Like Liam was reflecting a time where his parents said, hey, when you're 18, you're going to get out of the house. Most of the parents I know with respect to their kids are, oh, no, when they're 18, they're going to move away. When's the next college break?
Well, exactly. And I think that reflects a change in how parents have been spending their lives. With women in the labor market, you know, these families have been working all around the clock and they haven't spent that much time with their kids. They haven't spent nearly as much time as the mothers of the baby boom generation did. So those baby boom mothers, they were sick of their kids telling them, leave when you're 18. But now people in, you know, the older generation worked all the way through their children's childhoods. They had them in child care centers, and they aren't sick of them by the time they're 18. They actually miss them.
Do you have policy prescriptions in this book?
I don't have prescriptions so much as recognizing that different countries have approached this very differently. Again, the Nordic countries have swung very sharply in the direction of supporting youth independence. It's costly to do that, but they clearly believe in it, so they provide more or less free higher education, tremendous supports in the housing market. If you want to study in a high school in a different city than the one you grew up in at the age of 16 in Denmark, you can move to another city and the government will pay for this. So there's obviously a political compact in those societies that youth independence is important enough to support redistribution for it. We don't go that direction. We're really sort of in the middle, though. We've got countries on the other side of us that are even more draconian. No financial aid, no dormitories, no rental market. So it's not so much a policy prescription as recognizing we have choices to make here. Do we want to liberate our children in an era in which their labor market possibilities are truncated, as the Scandinavians do, or do we want to see them come home? Because that will be the consequence if they're facing economic difficulty.
Or I think one way you frame the choice in the book is we can either follow the social democratic model and place the burden of youth independence on the state, or we can cut those supports by cutting the deficit.
Right. Exactly. And which way do we want to go? I think every family probably has a different point of view about this.
Yes. And I guess in our last 15 seconds, Liam was talking about how the adult daughter isn't going out and finding a job because it's comfortable to sit at home and wait. It can also be the place to help you take an entry-level job that doesn't pay you very much so that you can get a foothold or afford to go to grad school.
So or in many cases for the middle
class, it doesn't have to be stagnation.
Take a job that pays nothing, which is what internships are all about.
There you go, which becomes a privilege if you can afford it.
Exactly.
The Accordion Family, Boomerang Kids, Anxious Parents, and the Private Toll of Global Competition is the book from Catherine Newman from Johns Hopkins University. Thank you very much.
Thank you.